Test, test. Well, you know, this is never an easy thing for me. I think you're probably aware of that. And so, it's good in that sense. Once again, I struggled with this long time, longer than anyone should. But it was good in the sense that I finally got my eyes off myself and focused on God where they need to be. And so, I had to surrender my my expectations to do or to present anything that would necessarily be what y'all expect. And just to, again, keep my eyes on God and share what He has taught me. So that's what I'm going to try to do. That's what I'm trusting that He'll do. And, you know, this isn't going to be very long, I don't believe. So, but it's concerning faith. And I'd like to read a verse from Hebrew. Chapter 11, verse 6 and 7. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. I'd like to just kind of walk through that verse in a couple points or a few points. That whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists. I think that is to believe that God exists doesn't just mean in kind of a very general way of thinking that there is a God, but that God specifically, how He has revealed Himself through the Scriptures, that He exists in that manner, that is His character, that is His nature, that is who He is. So, whoever would draw near to God must believe He exists as He has revealed Himself. And it says, by faith Noah, being warned by God. So God was in communication with Noah, that Noah was in a place that he could hear what God was saying to him. He was warned by Noah, or Noah was warned by God, rather, concerning events as yet unseen. So, Noah was not relying on anything that he could see, that he could touch, that he could understand, but he was relying just on what God had revealed to him, what God had told him. And then in reverent fear, he constructed an ark. You know, I was thinking when this is used in usually the Old Testament, the fear of God or the fear of the Lord, I believe what they're saying there is that there is a knowledge of God that not just a fear in the sense of being afraid, but a fear in a sense of because you know who God is, you know that He is just, you know that He always acts justly so that if a person does wrong, then God will discipline him so they your God. So it's a knowledge of God. I think in terms of, you know, like a father and son who there's a deep love for one another. And, you know, they enjoy each other. They play. They talk. There's no sense of fear there. And yet the son knows that if he does something outside of the will of God, that there will be consequences, that his father will discipline him. So I think that's the sense of fear that he's talking about here, that he has a knowledge of God. So, in reverent fear, he constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world. And, I believe the sense here is that, you know, Noah made a choice. There was either to believe God and obey him, do what he had asked him to do, or he could not do that and follow the world's way, who was not following God. And so, you know, kind of like a house that's been condemned, it's no longer in use. You don't use it because it's condemned. And I think that's what Noah did. He had nothing to do with the world. He chose to believe God and follow him. So, God requires faith of us in order to be in a right relationship with him. I'm going to read three verses here, and I'd like you to kind of listen to them closely and notice that in each one, faith is always attached to what God has either said or promised. So Luke 1, verse 45, this is actually when Mary, the mother of Jesus, when just after she had been told by the angel Gabriel that she would bear a son and that this son would be the Son of God, she went to see her relative Elizabeth. And this is what Elizabeth had to say. "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." In Acts 27:25, this is Paul when he was in prison, or he was not in prison, but he was under arrest and been taken by ship to Rome. And they came into a storm, and the ship looked like it was going to be lost, and everyone was thinking that this was it. And then Paul says, "So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told." See, God had told Paul that if they cut away all the life rafts of the ship and nobody tried to escape the ship, they all stayed together, then the ship would be saved. And that's what that's what Paul was believing. And then Romans 4:20-21. "No distrust made him waver," talk about Abraham, "concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised." So what faith is a certainty that God will do what he has said he will do. That's what these verses contain, that people were told something by God or made a promise by God, and they simply believed God at his word. you know, it's really quite simple, and yet it's one of the more difficult things for us to do. Not sure why that is. And then one of the most famous, or well-known rather, verses on Faith is Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I think the NIV says, faith is to be sure of things that are hoped for and certain of things that are not seen. So God desires us to believe what He has said and to obey it. And again, based not on what we can touch or see or feel, but just on the fact that God is faithful. And one thing about faith, I recognize through looking at all the verses concerning faith, is that faith really is worthless unless the object of your faith is faithful. In other words, if I have a watch that I know is always accurate, that it's never off, I can look at the watch and say, it's 11:50, and I'm confident that it's 11:50. But if I have a watch that has a tendency to be slow or fast or stop, and I look at it and say, it's 11:50, I think, well, let's see, is that about how many minutes have gone by since we started? I'm not absolutely sure because I'm not sure that the watch is faithful. But the thing about God is we can be sure that He is faithful, that when He says something, that He will do it. And some verses to that effect are Joshua 21:45. Says, not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. And Numbers 23:19, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will not he do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? So God always says, or God always does what he says he's going to do. And one of the secrets to this life that we have in Christ, the life of faith, is this understanding that God promises us things through His Word, and then we believe Him, and then He fulfills those promises in His timing. So again, what is faith? Faith is nothing other than the certainty that what God says is true. So when God says that something exists, or that He has given us something, even though we don't see it, because of faith, we can rejoice, because God always does what He says He's going to do. He's faithful to His promises. You see, faith secures those things that are, but we have not yet seen them. There's a quote by Andrew Murray. It says, faith always asks only for what God has said, and then relies on His faithfulness and power to fulfill His word. So, I think God does things the way He does, just the thought of requiring us to come to Him by faith, because He is faithful to do everything that He has said He will do. And we are His children. Another little side note to that I noticed about faith. I know I tend to think of faith as being mine. I have faith, or you have faith, that it's something that we do. And what I saw in here was that actually God gives us faith. it really doesn't come from ourselves. And I'll use the verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You know, what he's saying there is, by grace you have been saved. You know, grace being the unmerited favor of God. We have been saved by grace through faith. And this faith is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Faith is a gift that God gives us. And then I looked at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. This is Paul talking to Timothy. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. There again, I think he's saying the same thing that the Ephesians verse said, but that not only the faith, but not the grace was from God, but also the faith and love were from God. That all those things were God's doing and not his own. And so that's how God gets the glory in everything. Actually, it's one of those things that are hard for us to understand, in that God does it all, and yet he does give us responsibilities to be in the Word, to practice our faith, to trust him. And so I promised you that it would be short. And so that really is what I got from that.